Hello, and welcome to Vetted, our new podcast, which we hope will become your go-to resource for all things education and technology. I'm your host, Mark Vetter, and I'm thrilled to have you with me on this journey. We'll explore the dynamic world of digital learning and safety. So, a little bit about me. Why am I doing this? Well, I've had the privilege of wearing many hats in the education sector, from being a social studies teacher and football coach for 9 years in the classroom to leading as a principal for 22 years. I loved working, believe it or not, in junior high schools because once you figure out that every day is Halloween, you sit back and enjoy the ride. I loved it. I truly loved it. But then I had the opportunity to move into a district-level curriculum leadership role. I worked in literacy in a district of over 23,000 students, and I became frustrated because my curriculum initiatives were being stymied by the lack of technology in our district. I made, some might call it a mistake, of writing a white paper, envisioning where our technology should go, and dropped it on my assistant superintendent's desk. Never talked to him about it, never campaigned. But then about 2 months later, he knocked on my door. I'm the guy who likes to get to work early, have coffee, settle in, do my email, and no one else is around. And I hear this knock. I look up and it's Casey. He said, "Hey, Mark, we're going to move you to technology later today." Excuse me? I was a little bit in shock. He said, "Well, you've been campaigning for the job." Well, I actually was campaigning for the curriculum, not for that job. But it's one of the best things that ever happened to me. You see, from that 6 a.m. meeting, I got to dive deep into educational technology. I got to see firsthand how technology can revolutionize learning. And today, after leading a one-to-one rollout for 23,000 students, after helping lead a district through COVID, after implementing security and safety initiatives for my students, I work with Micro K-12. And as a company, we strive to create safe and effective technology solutions for schools. So we do know that technology has transformed education in profound ways. But it's important for us to recognize that much of this transformation has occurred only at the margins. For instance, we replaced the blackboards and chalk with whiteboards. Then we replaced the whiteboards with TV monitors, the TV monitors with interactive displays. Yet the core model of education has remained largely unchanged. It's centered on the teacher being at the front of the classroom, leading the learning process. That front of the classroom even has a term. School architects call it the learning wall. And they've used that term for over 100 years to denote the front of the classroom. In reality, our educational system culture has not changed significantly since Horace Mann came back from visiting Prussia in the 1830s. The 900-square-foot classroom with the teacher in front as the focal point of all interaction, of all learning, is a constant in the American experience. Technology has enhanced that experience, but has it transformed it? I would argue not yet, but there's something coming called the AI revolution, and it holds the potential to upend this traditional model, offering new ways to personalize and democratize education like never before. We can't even envision yet what AI can do to the educational model. When we think about foundational technologies, such as electricity, the internal combustion engine, or telecommunications, all have added to education, but none have upended the system the way that AI might. How AI will affect student privacy and data is mind-boggling. So it's up to us, the technology professionals and school districts, to wrap our arms around those safety and security issues today. In our first series, we're going to focus on a topic that's near and dear to my heart, student digital safety. We're going to discuss many aspects of that safety, whether it's the student's own safety, their physical safety, or the safety of your networks, or the rich cache of student data districts own, or your vendors sometimes think they own. With technology transforming our classrooms, it's more important than ever to ensure our students' access to the digital world securely and responsibly. So today, we're going to discuss the beginnings of the basics of online safety. We're going to start with the fundamental: kids. See, we're all in this role, We all have jobs. We all do what we do. We may love the computers and technology and the networks, but we're here because of the kids. So let me tell you a story. In 2017, we were beginning our one-to-one rollout. On a Wednesday afternoon, we turned on our student self-harm monitoring system. The next day on Thursday, we passed out one-to-ones at our first junior high school. That Thursday night, by 11:45 p.m., my telephone rings. It's my assistant superintendent. He had asked to be the first phone call in our self-harm monitoring solution. And he had gotten a call by a student who had three separate times searched online about how to commit suicide. We had an error in our system. Honestly, we hadn't given him the student data to make the phone call because he didn't have a need to know at that time. So we contained who had that access. So we scrambled. I got him the information. He called the parent who intervened. And literally that night, about 30 hours after we turned on the solution, we saved the student's life. To this day, I get chills. And I frankly sometimes want to cry because there's no price tag on that solution and what it did for us as a district. So as we begin to talk about the technology, the data, and security, we're not going to talk about sales today. We're going to talk about the kids. So let me introduce to you Sue Thotts. She's from Common Sense Media. Common Sense Media has a vision to help schools and to help our communities and to help our nation build technology that protects privacy and supports communities. It supports learning tools that prepare students and teachers for success in a connected world. Whether I personally was working with teachers, librarians, parent groups, or even our school board, Sue and the learning I had from Common Sense Media were a huge part of my digital journey and guiding our vision and quite often guiding what we did with our vendors. So welcome, Sue. We'd like to welcome Sue Thotts of Common Sense Media to the Vetted podcast, our initial episode. So Sue, tell us a little bit about yourself and your role with Common Sense.
Well, too, thank you so much for inviting me, Mark. This is a thrill to speak with you and to work with you again. My name is Sue Thotts, as you said, and I am the Director of Outreach for Common Sense Education. And what that means is I get the pleasure to work with a lot of educators across not only California, where I live, but across the West Coast, as well as the rest of the United States, where we call them outreach managers, but really they are folks that are helping districts and states try to figure out the best way to implement the free resources, the K-12 curriculum on digital citizenship and digital literacy and AI literacy that Common Sense offers for students and the resources for families. So we support all kinds of educators and administrators across the country to figure out the best way to implement a lot of these resources in schools and with the families and the communities that they support. So I get to do a lot of trainings. I get to do a lot of implementation guidance, as well as I know that you said that in this podcast today, we're not selling anything. And I say, I'm a salesman, right? I sell things, except all the things I sell are free. But I do have to convince people that digital citizenship, digital literacy, AI literacy, all of these things, digital being, are all very important in not only the lives of their students, but also the families that they come from, the communities that they're in, and the culture of your school. So that is what I spend all my time doing.
In the technology world, we always talk about the endpoint user being the most vulnerable piece of our network, right? Mm-hmm. And so the work Common Sense does with education with students helps us build that firewall, so to speak.
It's not just about the filters that you're putting up, but we always say the most important filter is the one between their ears. That's what we've been saying for a long time. As a parent, you can put up all these guardrails. As a tech team at your school or your district, you can put up all of these device guardrails and think that you're protecting your kids. But really, kids are very crafty and they're curious and they're relentless when it comes to doing the things and finding creative ways into the places that they want to be. And so how do we help students understand what is healthy, you know, what is appropriate, what is good for not only themselves, but also for their friends and family and for their greater community? And why should they feel a responsibility toward that? And so it's through building relationships and really teaching kids what technology is out there and what companies want from you, as well as what do you owe to yourself when it comes to using technology, and how do you take care of yourself and those that you care about?
You mentioned what companies want from the kids. What are your greatest concerns about student data and student data privacy?
I think my concerns right now, especially in this age of bringing AI tools into spaces with young kids, is I worry a lot about good-hearted adults and people who are well-intentioned or just enthusiastic about the technology, sharing too much information or using technology inappropriately, meaning putting kids' data, especially like super private stuff, around. I have teachers who want to use a lot of AI to, especially for their kids with special needs, right? I think about our very vulnerable populations, as well as our students who are underserved in a lot of ways. How are we treating their data, and what are we doing to protect their data? It's not, people are not trying to go out there and be malicious. They're not trying to share information that shouldn't be shared. They're really trying to help their kids. I was in a conference this last week. It was actually an unconference. And I had a teacher in there who was just, I had many teachers in there who were so frustrated with the guardrails that were put up by their district. Or why aren't we putting this in the hands of our kids? These are amazing tools. We need to put these in the hands of our kids, or our kids are at a disadvantage, right? And I and the companies promised me that they're very safe. And I'm like, whoa, I'm sitting there shaking, saying, of course the companies are telling you that they're safe. They're selling you this product, right? Who do you believe? Who do you believe when it comes to the safety of our students that you have a legal obligation to protect as the adult who's in their education system, right? So that's the part where I worry, is about well-intentioned people who love their kids and who love their students and want the best for them. We're all out there, right? How do we help inform our fantastic educators and help them understand what is not appropriate to share about our students?
So you have ties all over the nation. What's the hot button issue right now? What are you hearing the most about as far as people worrying about technology?
Cell phone use, Jonathan Haidt, his book, and Anxious Generation. And that is something that I'm getting a lot of families who are very concerned about the overuse of technology and what it's doing to our kids. And then therefore, they are pushing that anxiety into schools and saying we have to remove cell phones from schools. So cell phone bans, cell phone policies have been a huge concern for a lot of schools. And I get called in to many places to discuss not only whether to have a ban, but also what does a ban even look like? How do you implement a ban? How do you physically remove cell phones out of the hands of kids during the school day? There's many different types of implementation, whether it be out of sight, I'm putting these in your backpacks all day long, in your locker, or we centrally collect everybody's phones, we put them in pouches. There's many different ways that you can implement these. And you have to figure out what's going to be most appropriate for your students, for your families, for your physical building, right? Do you even have lockers? So these kinds of questions are difficult to deal with and implement in a way that makes everybody understand that the point of removing some of this technology out of the hands of your kids is to help your kids do better, right? Help them not have that constant distraction. It is not about controlling your kids. It is not about punishing your kids, right? Like, I hope that each school does it in the spirit of, we want our kids to feel calm, and we want our kids to feel well and at ease, and we want them to feel safe and not distracted when they are in a classroom, because we want them to be able to focus and learn. Not, we just want cell phones out of the hands of kids because we hate the cell phones, right? Like, that is the wrong kind of spirit. So that is definitely something I'm getting a lot over the last few months, as well as, of course, artificial intelligence, the other huge issue. Yeah, which I'm sure we'll talk about.
So as we're selling pouches to kids to keep their cell phones out of their hands during school day, we're opening up Copilot or Gemini and giving them artificial intelligence. Isn't that kind of like an oxymoron?
I think that one of the things I keep hearing is, yes, we've taken the cell phones out of the hands of these kids, but they're all still communicating with each other, right? And I keep saying there's no magic bullet. You're not going to take cell phones out of the hands of kids and boom, everybody's great. That's not the way it works. They're still finding ways easily through their Google Docs or through whatever messaging system they have in their devices that they have in their classrooms, they're still talking to each other. They're still communicating. The communication between students and kids being off task is, I'm sure that's hard for a teacher, but it's the social media, the anxiety that you get around watching videos that might not make you feel good about yourself or that are so attractive. Talking to your friends, messaging your friends, that's attractive, right? That's very easy to get off task. But some of these videos and the platforms that these students are on are so compelling that even for us as adults, it's so difficult to put that down. And the chitter chatter, that's always going to happen, right? But that's not the issue that I think we're most worried about.
But also, if we move them from their cell phones to our devices, we can control which platforms are on our devices. We can control or observe, so to speak, what they're doing. And so that eliminates a lot of that chatter. Although I've seen my favorite was the kids who had the blank shared document where they're typing in white ink, and then they highlight it to read what each other wrote. And the teachers couldn't see it on the management system, but the kids figured it out.
Oh, see, these kids are geniuses, aren't they? I love this. I love the creativity, and I love the desire to connect with each other, right? How do we harness that desire to talk to each other into something that is productive, that creativity? How do we harness that into some application that's relevant for the way that we want our kids to learn and to be creative and to think critically about the world, right? That's the fun part. That's what we get to do as educators. Yeah. But yeah, I know putting these devices in the hands of kids, it can be used in many ways that we hope for. And then let's hope that the ways that we are not hoping for are not so bad, right? Kids chitter chatting with each other, not so bad.
So you and I believe that we first start with the kids. You start with working, as you said, between the ears. But if you're talking to tech directors, if you were going to speak at a convention and tell them this is the one thing you should do with your network to help improve student data security or student safety in general, do you have any thoughts on that?
So that's your department. That's you, right? That's totally you. My job is centered on culture and on teaching and on building relationships, right? You can put up these networks and these tools and these, I'm sure you know about every single trick in the book, right? I mean, that the tech folks use to firewall these kids into submission. At the same time, as we know, if it's out there, if there's a block, those kids are going to find a way over, under, around it, right? The thing that I want to communicate to those tech directors is that they need to work in conjunction with their families and with their educators to build that culture so that students don't want to do that, so that students understand why that firewall is there, or they understand why these students are in a walled garden of some kind, and they trust that the tech folks that are there are doing things to keep them safe in a way. And here are the things that we are hoping for you as our students. We care deeply about you. We are not here just to be a pain in your butt. We are not here to keep you from doing good things. We are here to do our best to make sure that we are keeping you safe while you're within our system, because we want to educate you about privacy, about the ways that people are using your data, about misinformation, about all of these things that could potentially harm you. And it's our job here, just like a parent, right? You are a parent. And as a parent, I'm not just here to squash you, my kids, and keep you from doing fun things. I always said to my kids, my number one job is to keep you safe. My number two job is to keep you healthy. And my number three job is to make you happy. And they are in that order. If I tell you no, it is because I'm worried about your safety, right? Or I'm worried about your health, or, you know, your longer term health, or I'm worried about your happiness, right? So that's the way my job as a parent is to do those things. I think as a tech folks, you are there to keep them safe, number one, but then also you all need to be on the same team. So you as the tech folks really need to help your educators understand, because your educators feel the same way a lot of times about the things that you're putting up. You all need to be on the same team when it comes to protecting your students and protecting your educators as well, so that you understand and you're communicating on your tech team why you do the things you do. right? This is why we're not letting you use this tool in the classroom, because they have had they've had security problems out the wazoo, and they get their data breached all the time. And if you have a data breach, this is what could potentially happen to your student data, right? And we don't want that to happen to our kids, because we care about our kids, just like you. So I think if I were to ask the tech team to do something, it would be to become friends and communicate effectively with the teachers and the families and the students, right? Because you're not all working back there to just tear everybody down and keep them from doing fun things. That's not your job.
Before I first met you, I met Jeff first from Common Sense, and I had met with 34 parent groups for 34 schools over 2 months. And believe it, this was a conversation, and then Common Sense walked into my life, and it was about making friends, right? And our school board knew about Common Sense, our teachers, and our librarians, because we had to all be on the same page, and that really helped. What are you looking to the future? Last question for you. What are you guys working on at Common Sense for the future? Anything coming up that's new and exciting that we should look for?
Yeah, we are in the middle of overhauling the kindergarten through eighth grade curriculum, starting in the fall of 2025, of this upcoming school year, beginning of this upcoming school year. We will have new set of lessons for kindergarten through eighth grade. And what I've been hearing, I've been working at Common Sense for whatever, 12 years now, right? And what I've always heard is, your lessons are too long. I can't do a 45-minute lesson. I can't expect my teachers to take 45 minutes out of their school day and do a lesson. And so we, in the meantime, have done an abbreviated version of some of those lessons. All of these K through 8 lessons will be 15, 20 minutes long. And the other thing that I think is interesting is the way that they will be presented is, it's given a scope and sequence over the course of the school year. And so at the beginning of the year, we have different needs. When our students first walk into our classrooms, we need to set up those expectations. We need to set up some onboarding guidelines. How do you treat your technology? What is my expectation for you? So a lot of those first lessons around introducing expectations are right up front, right? And so you have a set of lessons you can use at the beginning of the year. And then as we get into the holiday time, or maybe it's a time of reflection, maybe it's a time of well-being, right? In the second part of the year, right? So we have scoped out, according to the way the calendar year runs, we have given you some suggestions for some short lessons that you can use with your students. Hopefully they are short. You as a teacher can just, hey, we got 15 minutes. Let's bring this in today. Or here's during our morning meeting. Or here's during our advisory time. Like, here are ways in which we can not only teach our students about some of these skills or ideas, but it's an opportunity to build relationships with your students and be curious about their digital lives, right? I always want to know what's going on behind those screens of those kids, right? Because they are, I don't know, I find it endlessly fascinating to learn about their opinions and their ideas and their feelings and what they're experiencing. And that's what these lessons are always about, is eliciting, getting the good stuff from those kids and hearing what they have to say.
I personally know a lot of librarians would be very happy to hear this. And one of them actually is my daughter, who's teaching your lessons right now and loves them. So Excellent. That's great. So if somebody who's listening to this wants to get hold of you to get more information, how do they do that?
Everything that I've talked about today is all at the commonsense.org/education website. So commonsense, commonsense.org/education. So that's all the content for our digital citizenship curriculum, our trainings for educators, anything that you need, the ratings and reviews that we do on all educational tools, they're all found there. The family resources at the commonsense.org website. And then I personally, I'm still on Twitter right now at Sue Thoughts. We'll see how long that lives, but I will put in my profile also my Blue Sky account that I'm just starting to try to think about, and then as well as LinkedIn. So you can always find me on LinkedIn, where I try to share what it is that we're doing. But yeah, I'm on some of the socials. That, I think, that is the best way to learn about what other people are doing and what's going on. So you can always connect with me there.
Super. Thank you, Sue. Thanks for talking with me today.
Of course. Thank you, Mark. Have a great day.
I've been really excited to share with you my insights, stories, and any practical advice from our experts and from my experience in the field. Coming up, a few things that I'll be at. I'll see you at NCCE the last week of February. where I'm also presenting on security politics and building processes in school districts. Microbe is sponsoring an AI event on March 22nd in partnership with Federal Way School District. Microbe will also be present at IETA 2025, February 5th through the 7th in Idaho. And then we have TechFest East coming up in Spokane on April 25th. If you are located in that area and you'd love to come check out our vendors and our conference, please check it out on the Microbe K-12 website. It is a free event, great presenters, great vendors, just a wonderful event for all of us to come to. Also, Microbe will be at ACPE 2025, May 7th through the 9th. So sit back, relax, and stay tuned. Don't forget to look for our next episode of Vetted by Mark Vetter and Microbe K-12. Thank you for listening, and until next time, stay safe and stay informed.